Well, chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Jean Mensah, has pledged to declare electoral results that reflect the true mandate of voters. The EC boss gave the assurance at the signing of the Fourth Peace Pact ahead of the 2024 general elections. The National Peace Council has committed all 12 presidential candidates contesting this year's elections to signing a peace pact to ensure that all parties agree to use peaceful means to resolve any electoral dispute before, during, and after the general elections. The road to the peace pact has not been without difficulties, as the opposition National Democratic Congress tabled some demands which the Peace Council has yet to resolve. In an address and pledge for peace, the EC chair, Jean Mensah, says the commission will work to ensure the final results of the elections reflect the true mandate of the people.
As a commission, I'm pleased to note that we have walked the talk of peace, mindful of the fact that attaining peaceful electoral outcomes will depend on our actions. We have right from the start of our electoral processes consciously operated and carried out our activities and conducted ourselves in a manner that would ensure peace before, during, and after the election. In doing so, we have embraced three essential ingredients, which in our view contribute to peaceful processes and elections.
We can now hear from the two major candidates. First is the New Patriotic Party's Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, who says he will do everything on his part to ensure peace, urging his contenders to also do the same.
As we approach the home stretch for the elections 2024, my plea to everybody involved in the electioneering process, including candidates, political parties, electoral officers, voters, the media, security, and the general public, is to take responsibility for ensuring peace and harmony seriously, and to demonstrate that we are not reluctant Democrats. My hope, and that of the MPP, is that we will come out of this election stronger as a nation. We are hopeful all sides will take some positive steps to preserve the unity, peace, and stability of this country.
Well, the National Democratic Congress's John Dramani Mahama also pledged to peace as he called on the Peace Council to take steps to address concerns the NDC has raised prior to the signing.
I've come here today to place on record my personal commitment and that of my party, the National Democratic Congress, to the sustenance of Ghana's peace. At the very outset, let me indicate that we in the NDC remain eternally committed to the building of a peaceful and prosperous country in which the aspirations of all our people can be met. Our active participation in this event is an indication of its importance in the overall effort to guarantee peace and ensure the preservation of our nation in the aftermath of the upcoming elections.
Meanwhile, Chairman of the Peace Council, Reverend Dr. Ernest Edujenfi, says all political parties must at all costs eschew violence before, during, and after the elections.
Since the inception of the Fourth Republic, Ghana has seen considerable improvement in her electoral journey. The Electoral Commission, the political parties, the police service, and the media all improved their methods of operation in terms of capacity and delivery. There have been significant reforms in the election calendar and the general conduct of elections, which have enabled the organization of peaceful, transparent, and credible elections. It is indeed our collective duty as citizens of Ghana to ensure that our elections are conducted in a free, fair, and transparent environment. Excellencies, it is in furtherance of sustaining the peace of Ghana that the National Peace Council was established to facilitate and develop mechanisms for conflict prevention, management resolution, and to build sustainable peace in the country.
Now, let's just stay with the elections, because the Ghana Journalists Association has vowed to resist attempts by the Electoral Commission to resist media access to coalition centers after the EC said only a limited number of media outlets will be granted access to the constituency and regional coalition centers. GJA President Albert Jumfor, at a press briefing, said the association has engaged the EC to reconsider the decision. Mr. Jumfor indicated that the move could lead to the spread of misinformation and disinformation on election day, which could disrupt the peace the country enjoys. Albert Jumfor acknowledged the critical role the media plays on ensuring people are well informed on election day and urged the EC to allow the media unfettered access to their coalition centers.
In that engagement, we clearly stated our position. The EC must give unfettered access to the media at all the levels of voting and collation of ballots. The parties agreed that GJA and GIBA should present a proposal to the EC on the way forward, which we are working on as we speak to you. Colleagues, we believe restricting access to the media will not be in the best interest of transparency, accountability, and access to information, which is always a major partnership essential for these elections.
Well, majority in Parliament have ruled out any further attempt to have the House recalled, opting instead to focus on electioneering activities following the Speaker's decision to decline the Majority Leader's request. Majority Leader Alexander Fehlmarking says the priority is now on engaging with the electorate ahead of the December polls, leaving pending government business in Parliament to be addressed after the elections. The Speaker, Alban Bagbin, in declining the request to reopen the House, acknowledged the parliamentary calendar's accommodation of election campaign periods, stressing its significance in Ghana's democratic process. The Majority Leader finds the Speaker's reasons unacceptable in this exclusive interview with my colleague, Elton Brobe.
You remember we recall Parliament. Right. Government did all that it had to do. We came in and he adjourned Parliament in a day. You remember that in June, without any provocation, we had government business to do. He said he had received a letter from Jubilee, and because of that, he read a statement virtually insulting the president, and after that, he gaveled and shut Parliament. I mean, you are in the media. You know all of this. So I don't want to talk about whether he would come European Parliament or not. I leave it to his own judgment. But I am saying that with all that we've experienced the last 4 years, never again. We shouldn't make that mistake again. MPP candidates should work hard.
Now, the Member of Parliament for Efutu is hopeful the MPP's superior program to transform the country will guarantee electoral victory come December.
For the next 1 week, we'll focus on our elections with a determined mind to win and win well for Parliament and for our flag bearer, so that if they are still being difficult and acting undemocratic, we know that we have a government in waiting to implement these important policies. The Free SHS Bill, we want to enact a law and ensure that the Free SHS Bill becomes law, that is not just backed by policy, but there's a law. The One District, One Factory, we want to help industry. We want to help the private sector. So if they are still acting undemocratic, with an overwhelming win in Parliament for Dr. Bawumia, obviously we'll have no difficulty.
And with only 9 days remaining until the presidential and parliamentary elections, voters in Esuajaman constituency are pressuring political parties to present clear, actionable plans to address their top concern: the high cost of living. Now, in today's edition of Constituency Lens, we'll take you to the Esuajaman constituency in the eastern region, where the two leading parties, the MPP and NDC, are engaged in a fierce debate over who has a better record and plans for the constituency. Watch this.
Where will this constituency lean in December? What factors are actually influencing voter decision here in the Esuajaman constituency? I believe you want to know. And so come with me while we speak to voters to understand the factors that will inform their vote on December 7th.
We, the youth, we are suffering from work and then money. We don't have, some of us, we don't have parents to support. So we need them to help us.
I have three kids. Looking at it, the school fees alone is even killing me. They are saying free education, but forget about the free education. The books we buy, the things we buy, it's even more than the free education.
I have achieved a lot that the whole MPP government have not been able to do.
That cannot be true. That is palpable falsehood. Okay. Look, many of the things that the outgoing member of parliament, Thomas Ampemiyako, speaks about are projects that are sponsored by NGOs. And now the people know.
Reporting from Esujaman constituency, my name is Carlos Kaloni.
This is watching Joy News Prime here on this channel, live on DSTV channel 421, GoTV channel 125. Now, away from that, the Mortuary Workers Association of Ghana has announced a nationwide indefinite strike effective today, Thursday, November 28. The decision follows the government's failure to fulfill key promises, including the provision of adequate personal protective equipment, payment of outstanding salary arrears, and honoring commitment related to bonuses and financial clearance for new staff. My colleague Collins Frimpong has been examining the potential impact of the strike.
Mutuary Workers Association of Ghana has begun an indefinite strike today, November 29th, in demand for about 500 more employment or staff employment, and also demand for protective equipment as well as increments in certain allowances. But is the strike effective? This is the question that many people have been asking. Here at Kolebu Teaching Hospital, Mutuary, we speak to some relatives off camera who tell Joy News that they were able to gain services. Normally, when you come here, you can see that the entrance or the main entrance has been locked during strike period. But today, when the team got here, the entrance or the main gate was opened with no sign of strike. The dangers or the red flags that are always hanged on the gates are no more there.
Well, we'll still be keeping an eye on that particular strike, and we'll be updating you in our subsequent bulletins and also online at majoronline.com. Now, away from that, owner of a gas filling station at Gomua Akwatse in the Gomua East District of the Central Region, Martin Ochre, has been killed by armed robbers after he was attacked in front of the station. It is unknown what they took from the deceased, but our reporter Isaac Ofieje has visited the scene of the robbery and has come through with this report.
50-year-old Martin Autry has been operating the Gaso gas filling station for over 11 years now, according to sources. But little did he know that the dawn of Thursday, 28th November, was going to be his last in charge. In an interview with Joy News, an eyewitness, Richmond Ajay, revealed he heard multiple gunshots at the Gaso gas filling station, so he rushed to the scene. According to him, upon reaching there, he saw two armed robbers ransacking the deceased property while the victim was lying in a pool of blood. He said the suspect nearly killed him and a daughter of the deceased when he attempted to intervene. Richmond Ajay says the suspect shot the deceased three times before ransacking his rooms.
Yes, I've been in the back, penny in a dining room. 12 years, 11 to 12 years.
When the daughter saw me, she started shouting, which alerted the robbers to my location. Fired at us, but we managed to dodge. However, one of the bullets grazed my hair. I saw two of the robbers ransacking through the deceased belongings while the victim lay in a pool of blood. The three armed robbers nearly killed me and the deceased daughter. They shot the deceased three times before ransacking his rooms.
Or da from a bleed you from one more brepan about Kujanoma.
Meanwhile, sister of the deceased, Lucas Essie, who could not control her tears, called on Ghana Police Service to arrest the suspect.
Big brother, his wife called me to come because my brother has been killed. I asked where did that happen, and she said at the filling station. Big brother, they've killed you. They have taken my brother's life. Why didn't they just take his money and leave him for us?
For Joy News, Kofi Ejay's report read to you.
This is Joy News Prime. We'll take a break here. I'll be back with business. Please do stay.
Hello and welcome to Prime Business with me, Pius Kojobaka. The Ghana Cocoa Board has transitioned from using topsoil to a new soilless medium for raising cocoa seedlings, a move set to revolutionize cocoa cultivation in Ghana. There is more in this report.
The new soilless medium boasts of high moisture retention, proper aeration, and improved seedling survival rates. Additionally, it will be used with recyclable receptacles, replacing the single-use polythene bags previously employed. Cocoa Board officials believe the soilless technology has the potential to mitigate environmental degradation caused by illegal mining and topsoil extraction, ensuring more sustainable agricultural practices. Deputy Executive Director of Cocoa Board Seed Production Division, Dr. Alfred Arthur, expressed confidence in the new medium.
Management thought it wise to assemble all regional managers, all cocoa station officers and tanker officers at the head office to be here and learn about the product first and then also how to use it. Basically, that's why we are here today. It's to train our officers on how to use the products in the production of cocoa seed because they are used to the use of topsoil. This one is soilless medium. That is a medium produced from cocoa husk. And then fortified with slow release fertilizer. So you have to show them how to use that product and then the benefits thereof.
He emphasized that the transition aligns with Cocoa Board's commitment to sustainable cocoa production and improving the livelihoods of farmers. To ensure a seamless rollout, Cocoa Board has organized training for all regional managers, cocoa station officers, and technical officers. Participants were introduced to the properties of the soilless medium and its application in the field. Evans Eshen, Administrative Officer of Chris Fiber Limited, highlighted the importance of the training.
This is a new innovation we've introduced, but there are so many benefits we can derive from the use of Miracle-Gro potting mist. But if you don't train the people on best practices, we might lose the benefits we intended to get. So this training is to help them know how to apply the material on the field so that we can get the derived benefit we intended to get.
The training concluded with a practical session led by Michael Obin Opoku, the Oyoko Cocoa Station officer. He detailed the steps for preparing and using the medium.
After that one, you dig your hole, you just check the size of the substrate. You dig a hole, just take the substrate up with the seedlings, place it in the cover it up and just water.
The Cocoa Research Institute of Ghana certified Miracle-Gro potting mix in 2019, endorsing its suitability for cocoa seedling production. Researchers have confirmed the product's ability to nourish plants continuously for up to 6 months, further validating its effectiveness. Reporting for Joy Business, Kofi Sian, Achimtafo.
The Ghana Airport Company has announced that Ethiopian Airlines is set to commence direct flights from London Gatwick to Kumasi Premier One Airline from next Tuesday. A notice from the Ghana Airport Company revealed that the flight will take off from 2:10 a.m. in London Gatwick and land at Kumasi at around 9 a.m. And Joy Business earlier this year reported that Ethiopian Airlines is working to commence direct flights to Kumasi, Accra. That's it for the bulletin. For now, I am Pius Kojobaka. EU's next.
You have a solution means it can solve a problem. You have a solution means it can solve a problem. For now, let's say people are ready to part with money to capture that value. There are two types of businesses. There is one that is called like a volume-driven business. And then there is low volume but high margin. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. So what is it? You are selling cars for the sake of it, as an example. I mean, you can be there for 2 months and you won't sell one car. But when you sell one, the margins are good. And then the other types of businesses where I had 20 cities. Obu auto zip, that's the zipper. Zip na yesen atare ni munyina, yesen na zip yesen. But a day auto be brave. So the margin is good. For me, it's a balance. Once you know the solution would work, it means there is a need, and that need is what the market is. If I'm selling this microphone and it is a solution because you can hear me from where you are, and it is a good solution, and I believe everybody here would buy, that is the market. The more you see, when people experience the product and it is good, there is a market that can be limited geographically depending on what you are selling. But today, technology has broken that barrier. Previously, obi ton wache no ton waha na esi oto a wache no obi a shene dem this one rank said dinner there. But today, you can be at Ahojo, the wache is nice, somebody will deliver. So it's part of your market.
Brought to you by Africa School of Entrepreneurship and supported by GCB Bank, your bank for life.